Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Father, we pray that you would keep your promise this morning that when your word goes forth, it will not return to you without accomplishing that purpose for which you sent it forth. Grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The seventh month of the Jewish calendar, there were two festivals, sort of harvest kind of festivals, where people would feast. But in between those 2 days, there was a day of fasting. And that day was called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And it was a somber day, commanded by God himself. And in the days that God commanded it, Aaron, Moses' brother, was the high priest in Israel. He was selected by God himself to be the high priest. And most of the activity, the important activity, the activity that meant something to the people of Israel, most of that activity was carried out on the Day of Atonement by the high priest. Though there was one other guy who was very important that day, and we'll mention him in a little while. Aaron had been an important assistant to Moses. He was given by God to Moses as his assistant when Moses complained that he couldn't speak well enough. And so God said to Moses, when God was telling Moses, it was back before all this, when God was telling Moses to go tell Pharaoh to set his people free, Moses said, I can't speak well enough to do that. And God says, all right, take your brother Aaron and he'll help you. He'll speak for you. And so that's where Aaron became the assistant to Moses. He was often Moses' mouthpiece. It was Aaron who lifted up his rod and held it out to the Nile River, and the river turned to blood. That was Aaron that did that, at Moses' command, of course, and really God's command. It was Aaron who made the golden calf. Wait just a second. Hold on a second there. He did what? That was Aaron who made the golden calf. Remember that story? Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the law from God, and after he was gone for over a month up there, the people were wondering if he was ever coming back, and I suppose they thought he wasn't coming back. And so they said to Aaron, we want another God. Make one for us. Make us a golden calf. And he caved. He caved into the pressure, and he made them a golden calf to worship. And then when Moses came down from the mountain, Aaron lied about it. Remember that, too? Moses says, what's this golden calf doing here? Aaron says, well, they brought me their gold, and I threw it into the fire, and a golden calf popped out. What do you know? That was that's what Aaron said. He lied about it to Moses. It is a testament to the mercy of God that a man like that was now the high priest of Israel, isn't it? That God can take someone who has fallen so badly and raise them back up and give them an important position is a testament to his mercy, that he could be forgiven for that. The Day of Atonement was highly ritualistic. Now back to the Day of Atonement. It was highly ritualistic. And the rituals symbolized a great deal for the people of Israel to understand. The high priest, before he would even begin, he had to take a bath. Sacrifices were to be offered, but before he offered those sacrifices, it's odd, isn't it? He had to take a bath before he got all bloody, because he would cut the neck of the sacrifice and let the blood bleed out, and then he would cut up the sacrifice. Before he got all bloody, he had to take a bath. And then he had to wear special clothes that were used only for that day, that were reserved for that day. And on that particular day, the Day of Atonement, a bull and 2 goats were brought to Aaron. And that brings us up to verse 6, which is right before our lesson starts in verse 7 of Leviticus chapter 16. And it says this in verse 6. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering, to make atonement for himself and his household. So before he can offer anything on behalf of the people of Israel, he first had to atone for his own sins and those of his household. And we read a little bit later on in Leviticus, for all, the entire company of priests, he was sacrificing that bull for his own sins and the sins of the priests and the sins of his household. And then we come now to verse 7, which is where our lesson begins. And it says this, he, that's Aaron, shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Kind of an interesting thing there, isn't it? One offering, two goats. Two goats equals one offering here in this passage. And Aaron was to kill one of the goats, and he had to carry the blood in a bowl into the most holy place and drip the blood onto the seat of mercy there in that most holy place, on the Ark of the Covenant, and cover that with that blood. This was a bloody mess, this sacrifice for sins. In fact, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Sin is an ugly thing, and it is an ugly thing that pays for it. And so Moses would carry that blood in, but before he did that, he had to carry the blood of a bowl full of the blood of the bull and sprinkle that on the Ark of the Covenant for his own sin and atone for his own sin. And then he carried the blood in from the goat that he had sacrificed, and he sprinkled it there on the mercy seat. The presence of God was there in the most holy place, separated by a curtain from everyone else. And the only person who could ever go in there was the high priest. And he could only go in once a year on this Day of Atonement. And the holiness of God was so severe that even the high priest dare not walk into that holy place without the blood. Aaron had seen his two sons die, two of his four sons die because they entered that holy place without the blood, on the wrong day, the wrong time. And they died that day. And so he knew what it meant to take the blood with you when you went to see God. And so God made arrangements for, in this command, for these two goats to be sacrificed. Two goats, but one sacrifice. And when the priest came out after making the sacrifice, after sprinkling the blood, he would lay his bloody hands on the second goat. And this is where the second goat comes in. Lay his hands on the second goat and symbolically place all of the sins of the entire nation of Israel, every man, woman, child in Israel, lay those sins on that goat, on that second goat, before the Lord, it says. Right? And that was the scapegoat. And that scapegoat would carry the sins. This is where the second person comes in that I mentioned before. Another one more important person on that day besides the high priest. This is a person who had been selected beforehand to lead that goat out into the wilderness. And it says to a solitary place where nobody else was, where nobody else was likely ever to come across that goat again. And lead that goat out there with the sins of Israel placed upon that goat. That was an object lesson for all of the people who couldn't see what went on behind the curtain. This was an object lesson for them all to see. And everyone, from the educated person to the person who couldn't read nor write, knew the meaning of this object lesson, because the sins of the people were placed on this goat and separated. The sins were removed from the people who had committed them, and the sins were sent far away from the people who had committed them and left out there where no one would ever find them again. That is the meaning of the scapegoat in our passage for today. Now the sins belonged to the goat, not to the people who had committed them. Hebrews tells us, in the book of Hebrews, that is, that the blood of bulls and goats could never really take away sin. That is true. This yearly ritual that went on in the life of Israel from this time when God first commanded it all through their history, or through much of their history, was really to point ahead to a sacrifice that really would take away the sin of the world, really would take away sins. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins, but the blood of the Lamb can, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It has been said that if you want to know the enormity of your sin, look at the enormity of the sacrifice that it took to pay the price for your sin. The Lamb of God was God's own Son. That was the price that it took to pay for your sins and mine. And there ought to be no smugness here among us this morning as we look at someone else and say, well, maybe I'm not as bad as that person. There ought to be not a hint of that, because the same price, well, it took the same price to pay for your sins as it did for mine, the blood of God's own Son. It is to the praise of God's enormous mercy that he was willing to make that price, pay that price, to send his own Son. And just as the goat led away the sins of the people from them and removed them so that their sins no longer belong to them, so now yours belong to the Lamb, who has removed them from you as far as the east is from the west. Believe it, won't you? All understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Would you please bow your head with me? Grant, dear Father, that we who amid so many adversities do fail through our own infirmities, grant that we may be restored through the passion and intercession of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.